Managing Your Finances, Chapter 2, A Biblical Overview of Money and Wealth. People who believe in the Bible hold widely divergent views about what it says, including what it says about money. Some view money as the root of all evil and believe that poverty brings one closer to God. Others accept a health and wealth gospel, believing that Christians are almost automatically destined to become financially successful, if not fabulously wealthy. So what does the Bible actually say on the matter? Is money good or evil? To lay a foundation for one's finances, we must begin by considering whether it is proper for Christians to accumulate wealth. Wealth and the Bible. The first time the Bible mentions someone with a lot of money, it speaks of a righteous man, Abraham, who was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold, Genesis 13:2. Later we find God promising that through this man's descendants, all nations on earth would be blessed, Genesis 18, verse 18, 22, verse 18, and 26, verse 4. Abraham was wealthy, but he was also father of all those who believe, Romans 4, verse 11. God is not opposed to riches. In fact, he is the originator of financial blessings, 1 Samuel 2, verse 7, and Proverbs 10, verse 22, and reminds us that personal diligence can also lead to wealth, Proverbs 10, verse 4. When we have a lot more money than we need for normal expenses, we are wise to save some for later use. The Bible speaks well of the saver, noting that the ant wisely stores up food in the winter, Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. It speaks favorably of someone who would provide for his children and grandchildren. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous, Proverbs 13, verse 22. Indeed, we should consider that having more money puts us in a better position to help others in need. Poverty, on the other hand, limits our ability to help others. Spiritual traps to avoid. The positive examples just mentioned, however, do not give the whole picture. The follower of God who wants to make money while continuing to follow God must avoid certain spiritual traps. It becomes easy as a person accumulates worldly goods to look to money rather than God as a source of protection and stability, Proverbs 18, verse 11. The Apostle Paul talked about money and temptation. Those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 through 10. It is from these words that many get the idea that the Bible teaches that money is the root of all evil. However, Paul wrote something considerably different, that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money itself is not evil, but elevating it and material wealth to a greater priority than these should have is a great spiritual trap. In this passage, Paul elaborates on the perspective towards wealth that Jesus had given many years earlier. In speaking of a Christian's priorities, Matthew 6, verses 24 through 33, Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." Verse 24. The English mammon is translated here from an Arabic word which means riches, especially riches that turn one's attention away from God. In that sense, wealth is personified as a competing master, which is unacceptable. While recognizing that people have physical needs, Christ emphasized that our chief priority must always be God. Jesus taught, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Verse 33. Paul's comments to Timothy teach us not to make a god of money or to allow it to come between us and our Creator. Money is simply a tool that can be used for either good or bad. The key lies in our attitude. Paul adds this advice for the wealthy. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty or trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19. Can we seek wealth and eternal life? On another occasion, a young man asked Christ, what one must do to inherit eternal life. After Christ told him he must keep God's commandments, the man responded that he had kept them from his youth. Mark 10, verses 17 through 20. Then Jesus, looking on him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Verses 21 through 25. See also the eye of a needle, an inset within this booklet. Notice the disciples' reaction when they heard Jesus' comments about how difficult it was for a rich man to enter the kingdom. They were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Verses 26 through 27. Eternal life is a gift given to those who humbly seek God. John 3, verse 16, Romans 6, verse 23, and Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. Everyone, whether rich or poor, must rely on God's mercy for eternal life. A lesson in priorities. Jesus explained that eternal life is a spiritual issue of paramount importance. The wealth of the man was not intrinsically wrong, but his misplaced priorities, his improper attachment to material wealth, was. Christ perceived that the man was more interested in money than God. Indeed, the young man was despondent over Christ's words and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Mark 10, verse 22. Some try to twist this episode into a lesson about the inadequacy of God's commandments, which the young man claimed to have kept from his youth, arguing that Jesus was introducing a new standard of righteousness. Yet the reality is that Jesus challenged the young man's commitment to the commandments by testing him on the very first one, which forbids having any other gods before the true God. Clearly, the young man placed his wealth before God. This passage does not imply that the rest of us must give away everything we have, unless, that is, we too have a particular problem with placing a higher priority on our possessions than on God. Of course, God will require other sacrifices of us. In any case, it is important for us to submit to Him wholeheartedly. God has revealed in His Word, the Bible, all essential knowledge that people need to come into harmony with His ways in both spiritual and physical matters. He has given His people specific instructions for supporting the poor, Deuteronomy 14, verses 28 through 29, 15, verses 1 through 2, and 26, verses 12 through 14. His word even gives instructions for how people should provide financially for his annual religious observances. Deuteronomy 12, verses 17 through 18, 14, verses 22 through 27. Jesus took the lesson of spiritual and financial priorities a step further. Mark 10 continues, "Then Peter began to say to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you.' So Jesus answered and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house, or brother, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Here Jesus promises physical and spiritual rewards for putting him first, so he clearly is not against prosperity, providing we don't make it the highest priority in our lives. Keeping priorities straight can be a challenge for those who have been blessed with material goods. The rich must not glory in their riches. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. We must remember Christ's instruction regarding our priorities. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6, verses 20 through 21. People are prejudiced. People can be prejudiced about money. Sometimes the wealthy despise the poor, and sometimes the poor despise the rich. Jesus did not hold such biases. He ate with tax collectors and those looked down on as sinners, was called their friend and ministered to the poor. Matthew 9, verse 10, 11, verse 5, and chapter 19. Yet he showed no partiality and could be also found with the rich. Matthew 27, verse 57, and Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. A wealthy man so admired Jesus that he buried him in his unused family tomb. Matthew 27, verses 57 through 60. Jesus Christ died for all of humanity, regardless of anyone's social or financial standing. The scriptures we have just reviewed showed that money is neutral, neither good nor bad. Our attitude toward it, however, is important. Money tests our allegiance. It makes it apparent whether we are committed to God or our possessions. At best, money is a tool we use for important purposes. In the next chapter, we will see that Christ taught that a Christian has financial obligations to God and fellow man. Thanks for listening to A Biblical Overview of Money and Wealth, Chapter 2 of the booklet, Managing Your Finances. For the rest of this booklet, please visit ucg.org.